everybody. This is a Jeff Townsend Media Production.
Have you been searching for a podcast? Do you want to learn from some great content creators? Well, you've come to the right place. Indie Podcaster, with your host, Jeff Townsend, the Indie Podcast Father.
This is Jeff Townsend, and as you're aware, Indie Podcaster is currently on a break. I'm actually tied up with a job in the podcast industry and then a lot of other projects that I'm working on. But I want to continue to give you some content that you may find helpful along your podcasting journey. With that being said, I'm going to share some episodes of Good Morning Podcasters. Yes, that's right. The return of Good Morning Podcasters. Fuzz Martin and I purchased the rights to that, and podcasting sucks. So today, I'll be sharing some episodes of Fuzz Martin's Good Morning Podcasters with you. This is great information. You could learn a lot from it. To learn more, go to goodmorningpodcasters.com. Let's check out some of these episodes. I'm playing them back to back.
Good Morning Podcasters. Is there an app that is poised to take over TikTok in 2023? There might be. Hi, friends. My name is Fuzz Martin. Three times a week, I bring you a show about marketing, advertising, PR, and social media topics or news for your podcast. Today, we're going to be talking about the social media side of things. We're all well aware of TikTok. It's fun. It's easy to get trapped watching short videos longer than you want to. It's really become a great platform for people to express their creativity. And with 1 billion active users, it's definitely popular. But it's not the most popular. And according to Demand Sage, it's not even in the top 5. In fact, it's currently the 7th biggest social media platform. Can you guess who's first? Well, here we go. I'll run it down. Let me get out my bell. All right, here are the top 10 social media platforms as of December 6th, 2022. Number 10, Telegram with 550 million users. Number 9, Douyin, an app similar to TikTok that's owned by the same people as TikTok. They have 600 million users. Number 8, QQ, a Chinese social media messaging app that has 606 million users. Number 7, TikTok with 1 billion users. Number 6, WeChat with 1.26 billion users. All right, can you guess the top 5? All right, here we go. Number 5, Facebook Messenger, 1.3 billion users. Number 4, Instagram with 2 billion users. All right, now you're probably running in your head. If Instagram was number 4, who are the top 3? I think you're going to get it wrong. But say them in your head right now while you're listening. Think about them in your head and let's see if you get them right. You ready? All right. The number 3 most popular social media app in the world right now, WhatsApp, with 2+ billion users. Number 2, it's YouTube with 2.291 billion users. And the number 1, which I'm sure you got this one right, is Facebook with 2.9 billion users. By the way, if you're wondering where Twitter is on that map, well, it's way down there. It's actually 16th with 397 million users. It's behind Reddit, Snapchat, and Pinterest, and a couple of other Chinese apps. Twitter actually only beat Quora on the list, and that's somewhat surprising to me. So again, TikTok has been killing it in the short form video space, but they're also greatly at risk of losing their footing in that space this year. Why and to whom? Well, let's talk about it. If you're listening to this show, you're likely a creator or just super curious, but creators want to be paid. I know. That's shocking, right? You want to get paid for the work you're doing. TikTok has this thing called the TikTok Creator Fund. It pays creators for their high-performing content. It's only available for creators in the US, UK, Germany, Italy, France, and Spain. You have to have at least 10,000 real followers. They can tell if you've purchased them and they won't let you in. and your videos have to have reached 100,000 authentic views in the 30 days before you apply for the TikTok Creator Fund program. They started the program with a pool of $200 million that they were going to give out to those creators. And then they said that it was going to increase to $1 billion over the next 3 years. Reports say that they're paying about 2 to 4 cents on average per 1,000 views. That means if you get 1 million views, you're getting $20 to $40. Woohoo! Don't spend it all in one place. That said, the most high-performing TikTok creators make their real money on sponsorships. However, another platform is sneaking in to try to take that over. So who might kill TikTok? Is it Instagram Reels? Is it Facebook? Is it Elon Musk? Tune in to find it. No, I'll tell you right now. It's YouTube. Starting in January, YouTube is going to pay YouTube Shorts creators, not everyone, but those who are part of their partner program and hit certain metrics. They're going to pay them 45% of their ad revenue to creators. The way that works out, it will be approximately 10 times what TikTok is paying their creator fund, and there's no artificial cap like the TikTok creator fund has. So it's great for content creators in that they're going to get paid more money, but also people are more likely to subscribe to you on YouTube through your YouTube Shorts. But when they subscribe to your YouTube Shorts, they're also subscribing to your long-form content, which means that any long-form videos that you put out will get in front of your subscribers as well. So creating YouTube Shorts has the opportunity to make creators more money and get people to see more of their videos. But Fuzz, won't creators just create on both? Of course they will. But who are the big creators like Charli D'Amelio, Addison Rae, Khaby Lame? Who are they likely to post on? The one paying them 1x or the ones that are paying them 10x plus getting them more reach? And when those stars start moving over to YouTube, where are the fans going to go? And when the fans go to YouTube, who wins? YouTube. Of course, we'll see how it all plays out, but I think YouTube has made a killer move by introducing Shorts. So that's something for you to keep an eye on in 2023. And as a creator, if you're on TikTok and you're just starting off on TikTok, you may have an opportunity to get in on the ground floor of YouTube Shorts before they really turn on the spigot in January and we start seeing some of those changes. That's it for today. I appreciate you listening to Good Morning Podcasters. Links to some of the various data that I quoted will be in the show notes. Tune in tonight for the Podcasting Power Hour. That's Monday night. If you're listening to this the day that this episode drops, that's Monday, December 12th. I'll share the links on the GM Podcasters Twitter page. Podcast Power Hour starts at 9 p.m. Eastern. I'll be there. Jeff Townsend from Podcasting Sucks and also from Indie Podcaster, he'll be joining us. We've got Greg from Indie Drop-In. Lots of stuff going on. Again, 9 p.m. Eastern on the Podcasting Power Hour on Twitter Spaces. Maybe we'll get a fraction of that 397 million Twitter users. All the episodes of Good Morning Podcasters are available at goodmorningpod.com, and new episodes come out every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Thanks again for listening, and we'll talk to you real soon, right here on Good Morning Podcasters. What's happening, podcasters? Podchaser. What is it? And why do you need to make sure that your podcast is not only listed, but claimed? Welcome to Good Morning Podcasters, where we explore marketing, advertising, public relations, and social media topics as they relate to your show. My name is Fuzz Martin. I am a partner at Epic Creative. That's an ad agency located in Milwaukee, which is in Wisconsin, USA. Each day, I work with brands, large and small, mostly large, to help them achieve their marketing and advertising goals. And while podcasting isn't the biggest part of most of our clients' plans, they are a growing part of their marketing strategies. We work with brands and podcasting primarily in three ways. One, finding shows that our brands can advertise their products and services on. So looking for sponsorship opportunities for our brands to be the sponsors. Number two, finding shows where our clients in-house subject matter experts can be guests on different podcasts, so kind of a public relations side of things. And then the third way that we work with brands here at our agency is to help them create podcasts or get their podcasts up and running. We have varying levels of that kind of work. But today we're going to focus on the first two, okay? So looking for places to advertise and looking for places to get our clients scheduled as guests on podcasts. It's a big job. According to Podcast Index, as of the time I'm recording this, there are 4,085,907 podcasts. That's a lot to sort through. When it comes time for our media team to find podcasts to sponsor, there aren't a ton of great searchable indexes out there that would make our job easier. You can't just go onto Apple Podcasts and find everything that you're looking for. You certainly can't go on Spotify and do that. And while there are a lot of directories out there, there weren't any that were real good that made our job easier, or at least there weren't. We have to find the best shows that work with our clients' audiences, figure out how often they're publishing, read more about the show, find their contact information, work on organizing them and negotiating sponsorship opportunities. The same holds true for our public relations teams. When our PR teams are looking to get our clients' subject matter experts booked as guests on shows, we want to be able to explore the shows, make sure they'd be a good fit before we reach out, so we're not wasting the podcast host's time, our client's time, or our time. Podchaser solves most of those problems for us. Just as a disclaimer, I was originally cold on Podchaser. In fact, I was vocally cold on Podchaser because they were purchased by Acast, and I was upset with Acast for all of the unsolicited emails that they were sending me, you, anybody with a podcast. In fact, I was so cold on it that at one point I spoke with my team member who was negotiating our Podchaser deal. When I heard about Acast buying Podchaser, I told them to stop engaging and to go connect with Refonic. Thankfully, though, our rep won us over. So now, as an agency, we are now Podchaser Pro subscribers, which comes with a pretty hefty annual fee. We're paying a few thousand dollars per year for this service. And we'll just say that a few thousand is less than 5,000, but more than 1,000. But for us, I think it's going to be worth every penny. Podchaser allows our teams to find shows, listen to a few episodes, determine whether or not we should advertise or pitch having our guests on those shows. It has some cool tools that it offers for the Podchaser Pro users. You can see audience reach, and I don't know where they get those numbers from. I need to dig in and find out. But when you look at them, it's really a nice barometer when you're looking at one show versus another. It gives us listener demographics. They have a thing called the Podchaser Power Score, which according to their website is a proprietary score of a podcast's influence based on over 30 different data points, including reach, subscribers, cross-platform presence, and more. It gives us the show's contact information and allows us to export that information. It has top podcast charts, social handles and analytics, metadata, which they say is combining authentic crowdsourced data with rich technical information. Podchaser goes beyond the RSS feed to deliver an incomparable set of metadata. And it allows our teams to build lists of shows and then take notes on different shows so we can go back and say which ones we want to work with, or perhaps track some of the contact that we've had with them. All of those things are very powerful tools, especially if the data is accurate. And that's kind of where you come in on today's show. I guess I'm imploring you to go to Podchaser and make sure that your podcast is listed, because agencies like mine are looking for podcasts, possibly like yours, to advertise on. And if you don't have correct data in there, it's going to be hard to get in touch with you or even recognize that we should be advertising on your show. So go to Podchaser, make sure your podcast is listed. If it's not, you can add it. And if it is listed, then make sure you claim your show. Once you have it claimed, you can go in and add a lot more data that's not available through your RSS feed, such as your social media handles, additional links that are important to your show, like maybe your rate sheet and other stuff. I also like that it has an old school MySpace like top 8 that you can edit and feature on your profile. I don't think that helps anything, but it's fun and nostalgic. And since I'm talking about it, you might also want to make sure you're listed in Refonic and Matchmaker.fm. There's also Podcast Hawk. That's a database to get you listed as a guest, but I believe it's like $50 a month for you to get listed there. And I'm not sure that is really something that you need unless perhaps you're an author or you're really looking to get yourself onto different podcasts. I'm not really sure how it connects with those looking to book guests yet. I'll add Podcast Hawk to my Trello board and possibly explore it on a future episode of Good Morning Podcasters. If your goal is to have sponsors find your show, have potential guests find your show, or potentially be a guest on a show, it's a great idea to make sure your podcast information is up to date in podcast directories. More and more agencies like mine are relying on directories like Podchaser to chase down podcasts for our clients. It only makes sense for you to make sure that your free listings are complete, up to date, and that you have your active contact information available. So if somebody wants to reach out to you, they can. I will drop some of the links into our show notes. Thank you for listening to Good Morning Podcasters. If you'd like me to answer something for you, go to gmp.fm. That's GMP as in Good Morning Podcasters. gmp.fm/ask. That's gmp.fm/ask. Links to all the episodes are on goodmorningpod.com. And that'll do it for today's show. I'll have another episode for you Friday morning right here on Good Morning Podcasters. Good morning, podcasters. Are you planning to pitch a journalist on some important news or an idea for a story? Let's talk about how you should prepare. My name is Fuzz Martin, and this is Good Morning, Podcasters. This show comes out thrice weekly with new episodes on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. We cover things related to public relations, social media, advertising, and marketing as they relate to podcasters and podcasting. We're going to have a conversation about pitching journalists today. But first, I want to be sure that you all know what a pitch is. I'm going to give you the straight definition from muckrack.com, which is a PR website, because they've worded it more eloquently than I would have. From Muckrack: a media pitch is a short communication, typically an email or direct message, suggesting a news story to a journalist or editor at a publication, radio station, or broadcast network. The goal of a pitch is to generate coverage and determine if your media contact is interested in creating a story around the content. I've linked to Muckrack's media pitching guide in the show notes. It's well written. Now that you know what a pitch is, let's talk about what you need to do before you pitch a journalist. First, you're going to want to make sure that your news is newsworthy. Are you pitching a story or are you pitching an ad? If your content isn't newsworthy, you should likely skip the editor and go right to the outlet's ad sales department. Check your news to make sure it's timely and that it will make an impact to readers, viewers, listeners, etc., of that news outlet, not just your ego. If you've determined that it's a good idea to send your pitch, then the next part is crafting the messaging within your pitch. Write out what you're trying to accomplish, cut it down to as few words as possible, and really hone it down. What is your story? Why is it important? And why should that journalist care? Then be sure to gather all of your links. So this is before you send any of this out. Make sure you gather all the links that are pertinent to your pitch and keep them in one handy place because you're going to need them. Then you're going to want to get some publication quality, high resolution photos of anything that you're pitching, whether that's your headshot, a product shot, a photo of yourself or your esteemed guest in the studio, etc. In most cases, an outlet isn't going to track down photos or send out a photographer unless they're doing a really big feature article on you. So be prepared to give journalists as much content as you can to make their jobs easier, but also have them handy so when they ask for them, you can get them that information right away. So take that high-res photo or those high-res photos and place them in some place like Google Drive, OneDrive, Dropbox, etc., or a folder on your website. And then most importantly with that, once you've uploaded them, make sure that they're publicly accessible from a link. So you hate to send a link out to somebody only to have them have to request access. So make sure that those are accessible with the shared link. Then another tip is to take that photo or those photos and turn them into thumbnails and have them available so that you can put them into your email without them being a huge attachment. All right. So we got that all squared away. Now you need to do some research. You're not going to just send a blanket pitch out to a whole bunch of journalists. We're not sending BCC emails out here. You're going to want to send tailored messages to each journalist that you're pitching. And because of that, you're going to need to do some research on each of those journalists. So look them up. Go ahead and read articles from all of the journalists that you're thinking of pitching. First, determine if the type of content that you're pitching them even lines up with what they write about. If it doesn't, then skip it. Don't even waste their time or yours. If it does line up, great. Pay close attention to their style. Are they straightforward? Are they snarky? Are they funny? And then consider emulating their style slightly in your pitch when you send it to them via email. Also, it never hurts if you subtly allude to a previous article that they've written. It's best to make sure that if you do that, it's authentic and doesn't feel forced. But despite how I'm sure that journalists feel sometimes, they are people too, and people like to be praised now and then. So, saying something like, "Hey, James, I saw your article on X, Y, or Z. It was great," could go a long way if you actually read the article. Then you're going to want to personalize your pitch to each of those journalists. So again, send it to one journalist at a time and be sure what you're sending them or what you're pitching them is something that they would cover. Also, be concise. I mentioned this earlier, but a lot of journalists receive hundreds of pitches a week and a wall of text might bore them into the point of marking your pitch as spam or at least not responding to you. In your pitch, include links to your high-res photos. Again, make sure they're accessible. Sometimes they're included as thumbnails that give instructions on how to get to the full-res images, but don't ever attach a big high-res image file to an email. It will likely end up in their spam box before they even see it because of their filters. And finally, once you've sent out your pitch, be prepared to respond to whomever you pitched. They're tight on deadlines. They don't have a lot of extra time. If a journalist that you pitched asked you a question, get back to them immediately. If you're asking them for something and they respond to you, they're doing you a favor, not the other way around. That means respond to their emails, their text messages, their phone calls, their DMs, whatever might come your way, right away. This is what you asked for. They didn't ask for it. So be ready to respond. You got it? Cool. That'll do it for Good Morning Podcasters for today. I appreciate you listening. Be sure to hit the follow button in your pod player. You're a podcaster. You know where that button is. You tell your listeners to do it all the time. So please do it for me and go give Good Morning Podcasters a little follow too, okay? Be sure to join Jeff Townsend and myself on Saturday mornings for Podcasting Sucks, where we take a deeper dive into the world of podcasting and try to make some of the harder parts of podcasting easier for you. You're not in this alone. The Podcasting Sucks podcast is available right here in the Good Morning Podcasters feed. All episodes are available at goodmorningpod.com. That is goodmorningpod.com. Have a great weekend, and we will talk to you, well, tomorrow and also Monday, right here on Good Morning Podcasters. Good morning, podcasters. Where did my money go? How much does it cost to podcast? Hope you're having a great start to your week. My name is Fuzz Martin, and this is Good Morning Podcasters. Did you have a good weekend? We did. We went to a wedding for one of my wife's coworkers, but we're at that age where pretty much everyone who's getting married is either a coworker or an employee, and they're usually pretty young, which means it's easy for us to bow out early. Hey, why are you leaving so early? Oh, you're 40. Totally get it. Thanks for coming. It's either that or they're our age and on their second or third marriage. And at that point, they're like, yeah, we get it. Thanks for stopping by. Anyway, it was a great weekend. On to the show. Thanks for joining me for episode 24AT. That's the 24th episode after Tanner. Let's talk about how much podcasting costs. I want to do this to illustrate that there's a lot of range in what having a podcast can cost. This isn't meant to be a gatekeeping kind of episode. In fact, I'm going to start with how you could do it for $0, and then we'll talk about what I'm doing on this show. But first, let's break down where the costs go. There's really four categories of costs for any podcast: your recording gear, your editing gear or software, hosting, and promoting your show. So if you wanted to do a podcast for $0, here's how you could get there. And by the way, when I say $0, it assumes things in life which may be a privilege to some, but I think most people will have like a phone and wired headphones. So for gear, if you're going to do this for $0, you'll need an iPhone or an Android phone. You'll need a set of wired headphones, preferably not wireless AirPods or some sort of wireless earbuds. But if that's all you got, do it. And then make sure you have a nice quiet room. Okay, so you can essentially do that with things that you likely already have. For editing software, you can download Anchor's app. You won't be able to edit in that, but you can record in there. If you do want to record and edit on a separate piece of software, you could do so in a program like Audacity. For hosting, you're going to want to do that on Anchor if you're doing it for $0. There are some other free podcast hosts out there with free levels, but Anchor is the one that pretty much everybody goes with when they're talking free. And then promoting your show for free, you can do that using a free graphics editor like Canva or Adobe Express to make your show's cover graphics and perhaps some nice social media images that you could be using. And then promote it on your social channels. Whichever ones you're using, whichever ones your audience is using is really where you want to go. So that's how you do podcasting for free. Now let's talk about what I do and where all of my costs go in this show. You don't have to do all of these again. I'm just illustrating this so you can kind of see what goes into it. And costs for a podcast are on a sliding scale. Again, you could use none of these and do this for free if you'd like, but here is what I do. Gear for this show, I use a Rode Pod mic that's $99, a Rodecaster Pro 2 that is $599. I think I actually got it when it was like $749, so they're a deal now. A Samson mic arm, that's $35. A mic cable, an XLR mic cable, that's about $10, and a windscreen, that's about $10, and a pair of Sony MDR 7506 headphones, that's $99. So for gear, I have about $850-ish invested. For editing software, I use Adobe Audition. I'm kind of double dipping with this because I use the Adobe Creative Cloud for other work things. But if you were going to buy just Audition, it would be $35.99 per month through Adobe. Hosting, I use Captivate. That's $17 a month. I use Photoshop, again, part of the Creative Cloud. So let's say another $35.99 a month for my graphic editing software. The bundle for all apps for Adobe Creative Cloud is $84.99 a month, I believe, but we're still below that threshold. So I'll just say two $35.99 subscriptions for Audition and for Photoshop. I have a paid Gmail account, which is fuzz@goodmorningpod.com if you ever want to email me, but that is $6.99 per month. I have Squarespace to host my website. I paid about $22 per month using a promo code that I heard on a podcast. Again, that's about $22 a month paid annually. I use Otter AI for transcriptions. That's about $9 a month, or it's $8.33 a month. It comes out to about $99 annually. My domain name is $11.99 per year. And I use a bunch of other free software and services for things for social media, I use Pod Inbox, Good Pods, et cetera, some of those other kind of free software pieces that go along with the show. So rolling that all up, my one-time cost for gear is about $850, and my monthly costs, taking the annual costs and then spreading them into a monthly cost, I'm spending about $147.33 per month to run Good Morning Podcasters. Ouch. The good news is I have an LLC, and now thanks to this episode, I've got all my costs laid out, so when it comes time to get my taxes done, it's all right there. But again, podcasting doesn't have to cost that much. It's kind of like golf, right? So you can find a way to do it for cheap. You can get some hand-me-down clubs, and you go to a cheap course. But sometimes you want nicer clubs, or you want to golf at a nicer course, and you can do that. There's just a cost to it. And that's about the extent of my golf analogy, because I'm not really a golfer. So now it's time for me to head off and go find some sponsors to cover that monthly cost. Thanks for listening to Good Morning Podcasters. Please hit the follow button on your pod player in order to hear new episodes every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Episodes are also available at goodmorningpod.com. Have a great day, and we'll talk to you again on Wednesday right here on Good Morning Podcasters.
Thanks for listening, and thanks for telling a friend. But more importantly, thank you for supporting independent content creators. If you're enjoying the podcast or like the work we're doing in the indie podcaster community, I ask you to tell just one fellow content creator that hasn't heard of this podcast or the work we're doing and share it with them. But more importantly, I hope you continue with me on this journey as the indie podcaster. Keep being you. Keep being great. And the question is, do I stay here? Will you be back? Are you gonna come back? Will you be back? Are you coming back?
Jeff Townsend Media. Back.